Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today is Tuesday, August 28th, 2018. We got, I think, a couple days left in this month, and it's over. We're back on to walking into the fall season soon, but we still have summer left, so let's enjoy it. But I'm so happy to be back. Yesterday, I was so excited about the show because I realized that there's a lot of people following my work, following my page, and a lot of them didn't even know I saw Christ and or wrote books or anything like that and about it. And so I wanted to do a show about it because I get all these inboxes and I'm like, oh no, but I write books, and oh no, but, and I thought, wait a minute, Christ told me over and over again, just tell the story and keep going and walk and talk and talk and walk. Found myself like I was in the very beginning when I saw Christ, and it's been 16 years since I've seen him, more, it's like 16 and a half now, but I just got used to it. Even though I still see him, even though I still hear him, even though he still writes through me, all those quotes that everybody's reading every day, those aren't like a direct hit. Pay attention. And sometimes I'll put a quote in and I'll go, oh my God, I love that. And like, it just cleans me up and clears me up. And I go on. And I just let them go. I don't even name them. I just let them go. Because they're not mine. And how did seeing Christ affect my life? And why am I sharing it with you? And if you're someone new to the show, and it turned out there's a lot of new people, I, in the very beginning, talked about it a lot, and all of the shows are archived. But I will say that I used to be very apologetic for seeing Christ or having seen Christ. And I outgrew that because I realized that what I knew, even though I didn't know how or where I was going to tell it, that I was going to find a way. And it did hijack my life, but in a great way. But the hijacking was, once you know something that's the core of your truth, and I'll tell you about that in a minute, but once you know it, you can't not know it anymore. You're forced to live up to it. And in the beginning, the night that I saw Christ, which I saw him in a restaurant, it wasn't where I was alone, where I could have talked myself out of it or said I was crazy or thought, hey, wait a minute. You know, did that really happen? And did I just imagine that? Or was I dreaming? It happened when I was wide awake, sitting in a restaurant in Monrovia, California. I remember the street. I remember every single nuance of that night for my birthday, my 40th birthday. When I knew all my life that my life was going to change when I turned 40. I had no idea it was this. I was thinking like crazier stuff, you know, living somewhere exotic, maybe doing some great work for someone. And I worked on a school board. I was part of a school board. I had a job. I had my kids. I had my husband. I had all of that. And then started unraveling about 5 years before 40. And every time something big would happen in my life, I thought, oh, maybe that's it. And I'd go, nah, I'm not 40 yet. Can't be this, can't be that. I was raising money for school, for my daughter's school, to get them, I know now I'm going to date myself, but to get them technology equipment in their library, because at that time they didn't have computers in classrooms, and you know, that wasn't there yet. We weren't there yet. But I raised in 2 months $86,000, which was a lot of money for the school. And then I had to fight the principal because she wanted to use that money to pay payroll. And I'm like, yeah, but I earmarked that money for this, and this is what I told people. It has to be for this. And all this just regular stuff in my life that would go on in anybody's life. But that wasn't meant for me for long. I just had to do it long enough to know what that was like. And then for a while, I knew something was around me, but I didn't know what it was. I was part of an arranged marriage, and it wasn't easy for many reasons, and that's a whole nother story, but that ended. I didn't know how to behave or be a divorced person. I was mortified that I was divorced. In the community and culture I'm from, that's not good. And you're kind of like, oh, you know, she's the one. And I thought, wow, now I have to be that person. And it was like I was having to wear these masks of what everybody thought for a long time. And then I saw Christ. Now I was put, not only was I divorced from the community, but now I was put in the weird pile. But there was something in me no one could touch. I knew the truth. And the more I knew the truth, the more I saw where the truth didn't exist and did. And the night I saw Christ, he told me that my job was to bridge people's souls back to them. Now it sounds a lot more like it makes sense than it did then, because then I didn't know what that meant and who the people were. Time, I was divorced, working with both of my children. By then, everyone left me alone. And I was happy. And I didn't understand why he came to me being happy, why he came to me because I'm born Muslim and Arabic. And I thought, wait, maybe he came to the wrong person. And I immediately thought that because it happened so easily. It wasn't like, you know, in the movies how they do all the drama and the drum rolls and all this stuff before you actually see something. No, I was just sitting there. We paid our bill. We got done eating. We were ready to leave. I did feel a feeling before I saw him. I felt like there was a breeze inside of me, not on the outside. And I did feel a very content feeling, enough to receive what I was seeing. But the person across from me, I asked her, I'm like, Christine, can you see what I can see? She said, no, but you should see your face right now. And the work started right there and then. I saw him. No sooner did I get over seeing him and realizing what was going on, did he start working with Christine, the girl I was with. She got it. She got it faster than I did because it was actually happening to me. She was watching it happen. I can't even imagine what that could be like, but she did it. And as he was talking through me to her, and I was just talking like I am now, it's just I was saying things that she needed to hear. Again, it wasn't like woo-woo or anything like that. It just felt completely natural and normal to both of us, even though trying to explain it once it happened was kind of interesting. But before that, before we had to do that, she pulled out her checkbook and started writing on her deposit slips what I was saying. And then she wanted to leave me to go call her mother and tell her mother what happened. I asked her to stay with me just for a little bit because I was going home alone that night because my kids were going to be with their dad or were with their dad, and I was going to be alone going home.
And I didn't know, like, oh my gosh, what if this happens and I'm alone? And I asked God, please don't do that to me. I don't know if I can handle it. And we did eventually have to go home. But the coolest part of that night was the owner of the restaurant. It was a new restaurant. It was named Cafe Opera. And the man who owned it was Italian from Italy. And it was brand new. We were testing it out. And I had been there like the week before. So we were sitting by the window on a two-seat table. And, I mean, just remembering all of that. But he comes up to me and he asks me if I would like some wine. And I was going to turn around and say, hey, you know, no thank you, I don't drink. And Christ reappeared and said to me, accept it, for it's given to you with love and purity. So I said, okay. And the man who I later found out his name was Barrow, but like way later, went and got me this drink, and it was like on a little plate and a little cup, and it turned out to be like a dessert wine, a port wine. Now, granted, our check was already paid, but the coolest part of the night was when he came back, I mean, other than seeing Christ, when he came back to the table, he looked over at Christine and said, I'm so sorry, I did not even see you there. Would you like something to drink? And she said, oh, I would love some champagne. And he brought her champagne. And I remember people being around me. And I remember her telling me people were looking at me, but I couldn't see them. That was gone. All I could see was what was in front of me. It was too bright for me to see anything else around me. But I knew there were people there because I saw them before this happened. And that's all I really remember after the wine. And I did drink half of it, and it was very good. And then I went home. But what happened to me as a result of seeing Christ is what I wanted to talk about today. You know, how it affected my life. Because by now, it's not old hat. It's brand new every time. Including yesterday when I was writing, I'm always amazed at how beautifully our language can be when we understand what we're reading, when we can feel what we're reading, when we can feel what we're writing. And I've had enough meetings in the past, I want to say, 8 months of my life with people who've never heard about me, never saw anything about me, and are still telling me the same things about me. Because I wrote a book called Origins of Truth, for those of you who don't know, and I'm telling you this, don't have this book, get the book. Just get it. You will not have any idea what you're in for when you open the pages of that book. And if you've read it, or read it again. I keep reading it. I stopped for a while because I just got busy with life and I was having financial issues and I was always trying to just pay bills and do this. But every single penny I made since I saw Christ has gone into my work. I stopped buying anything else. I stopped doing a lot of things I used to do that I didn't need to do. And I devoted my life to making sure that I can reach as many people as I can. And the reason is I knew, still know in my heart, without a doubt, that this knowledge activates you to be you. And I didn't realize how much of us weren't ourselves, me included. And knowing Christ, it just cleaned everything up that wasn't real. When people say, what's my life purpose? It gave my life purpose just to see real. Just to see what's real And it sounds so simple, but it is not easy getting to real. It is not easy to reel back the people pleasing. It is not easy to get caught up in other people's stuff. It's gotten to the point to, by now, after only being able to see real, how easy it is for me to see not real. And the way I know is when I start hearing complaints that aren't real, but the person uses them. I say we have this big excuse buffet on the side, and sometimes we need to just draw from it because we can't handle our own life. And I'm like, yep, the buffet's closed now. It's been closed for a long time when I even need excuses. And when I hear them and someone's telling them to me, my heart literally just starts beating really fast. If I hear anything that isn't true, it happens to me again. But only with people. I already know there's certain things that there's very little truth in, so I don't even participate. I don't, you know, watch like just main news and all of that. Like I get what's going on. Sometimes I'll read things here and there, but I'll be like, ah, that's only where we're at. Geez, we've got a long way to go. But that will all change eventually as we no longer have a tolerance for things that aren't true. That we don't hear something and just sway with it and then get anxious ourselves. But our fears, our doubts, the controls we need to feel okay, the worries that we carry that we think are honorable, the guilt that we had put in us, anything that anyone added to my life, Christ brought me back to the beginning of it. Because once you know one truth, why do I want to go out with that guy? Why do I want to work at that company? Why do I raise my kids that way? Why did I say this? Sounds like a lot of questions. But it just kept after me. I had to get married, a second marriage, to a man who had a wife of three kids that they were divorced, and then a girlfriend that he broke up with that found out she was pregnant after. So now I was dealing with two other women, him, four kids, my two kids, my ex, and I thought, this is what people are doing? Holy cow, it drained me to the last part of me, but to live with this man, with these kids, with these two women. One loved me, couldn't love me anymore, and one just wanted to compete with me. But I had to learn what everybody goes through to the last frame so that I can come back and say, hey, you know what? This is how we do this. And the old cliches and the movies of how we're taught to react when we break up and anger and showing people that we're right and all of this stuff that was put in us runs a line by me that if a relationship isn't right for one person, it's ultimately not right for both. So then now I say, hey, but if that person wants to break up, then they weren't right for you. You get that? Why would you want someone who doesn't want to be there? Or can't be there or outgrew being there? Doesn't mean they don't like you or love you. They just want their life back because they realize that they don't belong here and it has nothing actually. Ultimately, you being a bad person, so you don't have to demonize them so you don't feel so bad. But that means that they're not right for you either. That there's somebody that fits with you better. But we get so scared of looking, so scared of being out into the world that we want to hold on to anybody that we've got. Because we're afraid we won't find anybody else. That's how little faith we have. But then Christ took me a step further and said things like, well, wait a minute. You're okay on your own. And when you are okay on your own, you know who to look for. It's like when you stop lying to yourself, you can see when other people aren't telling the truth. Doesn't mean you're better than them. It just means you figured that out. When you don't let yourself lie to you, and you know what that's like to hear your lies, then you know what it's like to hear somebody else's. Not hard. But it takes a lot of time for you to know what that voice sounds like. The thing I love about Christ so much was that he didn't tie me into a religion. He didn't tie me into a way of life. He didn't ever talk about the fact that I was Arabic or Muslim. And I thought, wow, that's so cool. He doesn't care who I am. He talks to me like he would talk to anybody, I guess. I tried to find someone he talked to. Now, you know, around the world, I might hear accounts of it. And that made me want to talk about this again. And I can talk about it forever. Because we are all included. Felt weird, but I no longer had privacy in my mind because, you know, God is with us all the time. Every single one of us. There isn't like God runs out or he isn't big enough. He's with every single one of us, you included, wherever you are sitting right now, whatever thought you have, you're included. You are included. There's no soul left behind, and you are a soul to God. You are a big deal. You really, really, really are. Whatever ailments you think you have, whatever reason you think you don't deserve being a big deal, all of that was put in you. But you are a big deal. You came here. That's a huge deal. This is the hardest place to be because it is the only place we are veiled from this knowledge. And I don't care how many times people have heard that, you'd be shocked about how little they believe it. So I'm just going to keep saying it because there's people I know personally that, you know, I see in my little circle that once I say something, they think they understand it. And then one day they'll look at me and they go, oh my God, I just got that. And I'm like, now? It took you till that. What were you thinking before? And they go, I don't know. Just like it does in school when they tell you to write your spelling word 10 times each. And I know they don't do that anymore, but we used to have to write our spelling words 10 times each. And they'd be like 10 words, and there you are at 100 words, and you turn it in, and your penmanship had to be, they don't even have penmanship anymore, but you had to be really neat and all of that. But it was just a way of giving you a chance to let things sink in. We're not robots. If there's something you don't get, it's not because you're not smart enough or good enough or like other people and they all get it and you don't. All of that is not real. That's all in your head, and it's ego. And that's okay, because ego is meant to be grown over. That's the purpose for ego. And there's people who say, I don't have ego. And I'm like, oh, yes, we all do. It messes with me all the time. I just mess back with it. And ego is very, very clever, because you'll be doing something, and you'll feel happy in your life, and it will show you that you can do something else and nobody will ever know. But if anyone did know, it would mess up your life. Well, if you ever get a thought like that, talk to that thought and tell it, hey, you know what? I know that you would like me to do that, but I'm not interested. So go away. And just talk to it like you would a person, because it is a separate entity from you. But we don't know that. We think that nobody will see us or know what we're doing, and they do. And then when we try to hide something, even though someone may not know what you're hiding, they may ask you, are you okay? Is everything okay? And it's because they feel that. Because we are so in tune to energy, not in a woo-woo way. That's what I love about what I know. The only hard thing about seeing Christ is that I have to say that I see Christ, because then it takes me and puts me in this category, but it's for the everyday person. That's the hardest part of this whole thing. But I see him. And some religions say that's bad. Other religions say that's good. Some people think it's great. Some people get scared of me. If someone lies a lot, they can't even look at me. And I just tell them, hey, that's okay, because if you met me, that just means that it's time to stop doing that. And maybe in time you'll learn how to do that. That's compassion. That's caring. That's love. That's leeway to grow. Because once it boils down, we can't find love for each other, we'll never find it for ourselves. And if we can't find it for ourselves, we'll never find it for each other. And I was trying to stop at every port, because in my heart, I wanted to help every single person. And I didn't know how to do it on a bigger level, so I wanted to do it one person at a time. And I got pulled back, and it was like, well, wait a minute. You can't do it that way. And I keep getting led here and there, and I had the time to write the books, and now I'm writing again, and that comes and goes. But now I have these compiling things, and I was very resistant to people coming into my world and working with me because I didn't know if they'd know what to do. But now I have so many things going on, I need that. Sure enough, all the right things are showing up for that to happen. It has been such a sobering experience that I did not realize how much we couldn't see, just because we were not trained to see those things. We were taught to just go along. Whether things were right or wrong wasn't even the question. Just go along. Don't stand out. Get things done. Be good, in quotes, whatever good meant. Basically, follow directions and don't let anything that you think or feel interfere in what you're doing. And yet what we think and what we feel is what drives us and what has driven us all along. So the one thing that was the most important was the thing that we were told to put on the back burner, and we got lost. And that's what Christ meant by bridging people's souls back to them. And I'm sharing it with you because I have to. Because there's no other way you're going to know unless you're aware of what to look for. And tomorrow I will do part two of this show. This half hour just goes by in a split second. But I will see you tomorrow. I love you guys very much. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show. To learn more, visit www.nadiakhalil.com.